Good day, everyone. I am Ulubanetu Dube. Thank you for joining us on another episode of In Focus. So today we're currently at BHF conference, and I just came out of a talk where we're talking about climate change. And one of the people who was speaking there is Sarah Teresi. She is coming all the way from Morocco, and she had such amazing things to share. Sarah, do you mind just giving us a brief introduction about yourself?
Yes, of course, Luba. First of all, thank you for inviting me to your podcast. I love to be here among youngsters. I'm not sure if you guys are millennials, but it's really refreshing to not be the youngest one in the room. So yeah, I'm really happy actually to be here, to be in the beautiful city of Cape Town. It's my first time, but not my first time in South Africa. I've been to Joburg before, and I'm definitely coming back, that's for sure. So my name is, like you said, Dr. Sarah Teresi, pronounce it beautifully. I am a psychiatrist from Casablanca, Morocco. Casablanca is not the capital of Morocco. It's actually the biggest city and the economic capital. So I work as a scientific consultant to African Global Health, which is an NGO that has been working in health now for about 3 years. We were before working just in addiction diseases, but we expanded when we took interest in global health and in public health. So yes, basically that's what I do.
That's amazing. So I'm actually quite interested. How did you get into the topic of climate change coming from your background? I know you touched a bit on that in your talk, but I just wanted to, I guess, ease into that conversation and just get an understanding how climate change came into the picture in your studies and in the work that you do.
Well, first of all, the subject was imposed. I actually haven't chosen my subject, but this is not the first time. I speak in many events and conferences. It's online or in person. And I feel that mental health, the beauty of mental health is that it applies to every field and everywhere. Everything can be linked to mental health because the human is his brain. So if your brain is sick, nothing else works. And everything can get the brain sick. And what is mental health? Mental health is really sickness of the brain. It's not something hypothetical that we come up with. It's not just something curious or maybe black magic or I don't know what in our cultures, our African cultures, I would say, because this is something that's very present in Morocco. People think that mental health is a luxury, but it's not. It's actually a deficiency, an illness of the brain. So that's why I think that every subject can be
tied back.
Yeah, to yeah, exactly.
That's so true. During your talk, you mentioned a few things about climate change and how certain aspects about climate change do impact mental health. And I think there were quite a few interesting topics there, particularly even when you went further in to talk about actual language that has been created to actually talk about mental health and climate change. Do you want to just first talk about how the climate change then impacts our mental health, things like you mentioned suicide, depression, anxiety, and all the language that has then been created around climate change regarding mental health?
So mental health, like we said, is impacted by so many events, by so many things. And the happy events also affect our mental health. Now, regarding climate change, I think that climate change is, like my fellow speaker said, it is a big subject. It's something that affects many spheres and many things, and especially the human being. Now, we have spoken about the physical health. The climate crisis does to our physical health. Now, for our mental health, it can be a direct consequence. Like, for example, somebody who works in the front lines, like a climate researcher or somebody who is very concerned about what is the future is going to bring when it comes to climate. This is someone who is vulnerable to getting many mental disorders, like, for example, anxiety. Anxiety is a tricky issue because, like I said, it's very popular. It's something that we see a lot. In our practice, it's practically half of the practice for different reasons. So this anxiety can be linked to the climate crisis for somebody who is earth conscious, who is ecologically conscious. This person is definitely going to live a difficult life. This person is not going to do normal activities. They're not going to get on planes. They're going to be very conscious on their carbon print. Mm-hmm. And this is crippling because as we have to make changes for our planet, we can't be too harsh towards ourselves, because the thing is, we can make the change, but not by making ourselves, yes, by ourselves, but not by crippling ourselves, by hurting ourselves. Because in this case, we become disabled. We don't bring much to society. So we need to take care of ourselves, first of all. So climate crisis also can, like we said, PTSD. PTSD is one of the biggest issues. This is some serious disorders. PTSD is very something that stays with the person for a long time until it's diagnosed. A lot of people don't want to recognize that they have PTSD. They say, I just get nightmares. That's it. Like, for example, this is not linked to climate change, but in September in Morocco, we had a big earthquake and there were a lot of deaths, a lot of casualties. It was very traumatizing. People were in psychological need for months after. So the problem is that many people did not realize that they were suffering from the aftermath of what happened until they stopped going to school, or they stopped going to work, or they stopped talking to their spouses or their friends. So the toll of disasters or climate health, climate change issues is that the person doesn't know right away. They don't know right away. They take too much time until the illness has become difficult to treat. Because let's be honest, when we talk about treating condition linked to mental health, it's a long run. It's for the long run. It's something that takes time.
Mm.
It's not an antibiotic I can take for 7 days and poof, that's it. No, it's difficult. It takes time. It takes energy. And that's why we need to work on educating people, telling them what anxiety looks like, what is eco-anxiety, what is the fear of the future, what's the nostalgia linked to climate change. So, yeah.
And actually, just talking about the way people live differently because of climate change, there's something you brought up, and it just made so much sense. It's like, it's a conversation that people are having, but not actually having about, yes, when I was younger, I wanted to have children, but now with the way this world is looking and how things are going to be, there's literally going to be fires and earthquakes. And is it almost cruel to have a child in this climate? And it's kind of changing the way people are living. And I love the fact that someone actually put words to that anxiety that is plaguing a lot of young people right now, and they're struggling to make decisions that used to be such a simple decision before. And actually even linking that to something as serious as, like, it's affecting your mental health.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are there any other things that maybe we should, like, try and see a note around when we're thinking about mental health, just things that we should pick up that would be something where it's like, okay, I need to catch this. I need to monitor this. There's something going on here. Because that story for me, it's something, you know, a lot of conversations I've had, and the toll is there, you know, but it's not something, because no one had put a label to it, or no one had pinpointed it out, I think a lot of people just continue living like that's a normal fear to have. And there's, you know, we're just making all these decisions and that's okay. So are there any other things that we might not be missing that maybe if we should just focus a bit on that and just actually, because once we notice it, we can take care of it?
Well, this is actually very generic, and it's not only linked to climate change. It's here we're talking about the mental well-being in general. So the issue is that it's mental issues are not visible. And you can have relatives and close people who just stop seeing you or stop showing up to your meetings or to your outings, family members who suddenly stop being sociable, who start being too irritable, who start having arguments easily, and it differs from how they were before. Some little things that sometimes go unnoticeable, and we say that, okay, but the person, maybe it's they're just rude, or maybe they're just, this is something that's going to fade. It's fine if it fades. I mean, it happens. But when it takes time, when it's more than, for example, for depression, when it's 2 weeks, where the person is sad every day, when the person is slow every day, when they lose interest in what made them happy, when they stop doing their activities. And here you're going to say, okay, that's a problem. I'm going to help this person. And the issue with mental health is that a lot of people suffering from it, don't seek help. They don't go looking for it. That's the problem. There is still this stigmatization. They're going to call me crazy. I am not weak. I'm not going to go to some shrink. What is he going to tell me? He's not going to help me. No, I'll just travel a little and change my hair, and that's it. It's going to happen. People turn to religion, which is not a bad thing. Everyone has their spiritual beliefs, but this is not enough when it's biologically impaired, when the brain is touched by the problem. Because let's be clear, many mental conditions come from vulnerable brains, vulnerable genetics. So when you come from a family where the parents, the mother is kind of anxious, the father is maybe alcoholic, or maybe he's depressed and either the depression brings alcoholism or the other way around, these are things we see in our societies, but we don't usually look at them as mental problems that can affect the children or that can be transmitted genetically to the children. We just see them as, okay, but he drinks a lot, he left his wife, he beats her, he beats the children, etc. So this is a problem because we don't see the sign, because we don't know the signs. Like you said, how can we achieve that? It's not by one time or talking about it one time. We have to keep the discussion going. We have to advertise this on social media. We have to talk about this in podcasts. We have to talk about this on TV, in conferences. There is just an example. In Morocco, I have a patient that just before I came, his son was hospitalized because he had a manic episode. And the manic episode was triggered by consuming cannabis or marijuana. And the thing is, not everyone that consumes cannabis or marijuana gets a manic episode. The boy had genetic problems. And he is bipolar. We just put the diagnosis. But the marijuana was a trigger. And the problem is that the insurance company doesn't want to reimburse the family just because the trigger is consuming marijuana, which is a big problem, because insurances have the obligation to insure any disease that is cited in the CIM or the ICD. You call it the ICD in English. It's the International Classification of Diseases. And consuming substances and addiction are a disease recognized by the WHO. So when you don't want to reimburse something like that, what is the message you send? That mental health is not important. That if your son is sick or if you see signs, just keep it. Just keep it to himself. Just leave him to his illness.
I mean, on a more positive side, I remember during the COVID pandemic, there was a lot of mental health issues that came about. And what was on a positive with regards to that is I did see a lot of medical aid, particularly in South Africa, really increasing those mental health benefits and really pushing those mental health benefits through and actually allowing that to be something that they even market as a benefit if people aren't aware of it. So on a bright side, I think, you know, we go through these horrible tough times, but then we see that those tough times also show us like the importance of certain things that maybe we're not prioritizing enough. And as you said, at times we don't prioritize things because of you know, the environment and like what you've grown up in. So if people are making an effort to, you know, talk about it more, as you said, because discussion makes a huge difference, that it then triggers certain responses. And conversations like this allow us to actually trigger responses and other people who may not be taking mental health seriously to be like, actually, that is a big issue. That is a real problem. I do remember I even had clients outside of South Africa who really sat down and they said, okay, we need to improve our benefits with regards to how we cater for addiction. You know, so it's one of those things where it's because people are talking about it, as talking about it has resulted in actual movement and change, kind of being not forced, but being encouraged. If everyone's talking about this is what we need, this is what matters to us right now, then we're seeing those waves coming through. And it may be slow, however we see it, but just having these conversations, you going up there and sharing how mental health ties even to climate change. You know, those are the kind of things that allow change to come in, allow providers to also be like, actually, we need to cover that. Funders to be like, we need to cover that. And, you know, across Africa, you know, there's so much that we're going through as Africans, and just having these conversations, different countries coming together to say, we need to have this talk, you know, we need to put it out there. This is what's happening on my side. This is what's happening on your side. How do we come together? How do we share? And I think that's absolutely amazing. I remember that you did end your talk on a positive note. I'm trying to figure out, how did you find a positive a positive note to all these like very sad realities?
Yeah.
And harsh realities that come with mental health and climate change.
Yeah.
Like, what was that positive spin, you know?
Well, my positive spin was just that I saw people getting impatient, so I told them, okay, let's wrap it up. But actually, the thing is, you can see positive everywhere. I'm not a big fan of the positive psychology that is a big thing right now, because being too positive is, I think it's also too stressing, because people think that you have no right to feel sad, or you if you're not too positive, maybe you have a problem, but that's not it. What is good and what is important to adopt in your life is the acceptance. You need to accept. When you accept a reality, you work with it, you improve it, you try to do things. You don't stay in that stage where, okay, everything is beautiful, and the denial stage. Or you don't be too negative. You don't spend your time crying or saying that, okay, the world is ending. And we don't know. All what we're saying is we're talking about the future, and the future is uncertain.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we are living in a different time that requires different measures. But the thing is, we have to accept it. We have to know what we're living, what we're doing. And like you said, even COVID, which was a crisis that no one has seen. I mean, our generation, I don't know if we're the same generation, I might be older, but this is a time that we haven't seen before. Like when we were, I remember at the time in COVID times, I was doing my internship in Belgium. So I was living in Brussels alone, far from my family. I got COVID. I didn't say it to the family. Mm-hmm. I was one of the first 200 people in Belgium to have the disease. And I was thinking, oh my God, wow, that's the end of the world. Streets are empty. I was taking the metro to go, the tube to go to work because the only doctors were working at that time.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, oh my God, what if I don't make it? What if I don't go back home? What if I don't see my family again? But it ended. And it even brought us some good things, which, like you said, being more aware of the mental health of people, of their mental well-being, of how to help them go through problems and working from home. That's
an amazing positive.
Yeah. So yeah, it's also a matter of perspective and acceptance. This is something I want to end with. I think that acceptance is key. You have to accept a reality in order to change it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's amazing. Well, do you have any last words to share? But I think...
Well, just thank you for inviting me to this podcast. Yeah, it's been very fun. Hope to talk to you again, guys. I will give you my card if needed. And yeah.
Of course, we'd love to have you again, even if it's a virtual...
Even if it's virtual, of course, of course. I don't think anyone sees our faces, so that's fine. I will do it in pajamas. Work from home.
Work from home.
Yeah.
Definitely. Thank you so much for joining
us. You're welcome.
And coming on to the podcast. And for everyone watching and listening at home, thank you so much for listening to another episode of In Focus.